Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this July the 13th on the West Coast. Now, this is a better number than 13. July the 14th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Well, we've got a great guest for you tonight. And before we bring him on, I want to just give a shout out to somebody, and I'm going to read something that I think is very appropriate for tonight's guest to open up a little bit of a discussion about some things that have been going on in the world today and how these things are playing out spiritually, what we can do about it, and really, this show tonight is going to be about understanding on a spiritual level what's going on. First of all, before I go into that anymore, I'm going to straight away greet our friends in the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. And we've got Karen, Bob, and Bill, David, Sheila, Zachariah, Crenshaw, Sylvia, Caitla. And then we also have Jill, and of course the General. The General was on the show in May, on the 29th of May, in case you're new to the show or you're not aware that this occurred. We did have a very, very interesting dialogue from space, and that's posted on my website, directlightproductions.com. Go to the documentaries link at the top of any page on the site, and it should take you there. Now, in addition to that, I would like to get into just a little bit a piece that I read some time back. It was in the Phoenix Journal. This was a message from the person. Now, those of us that are familiar with the spiritual talk to God. So if God is alive, then God's Son certainly is alive. We know that. And he has a name that maybe is a little different in other parts of this galaxy and in the universe. He's known by his spiritual name. He's known by a name that a lot of people on this planet have a hard time grasping because of the conditioning. It would be like you having a name as you come here to this planet. Mine is Don Nikoloff, and when I go to heaven, I'm sure I'm going to have a different name. I'm sure the Father is going to recognize me spiritually. And so my name is going to be different, and we shouldn't think it's strange to have the name of his Son be any different. In fact, it may actually describe his level of attainment in consciousness and his having done his part. Just like a father rewards a son for doing a good job helping with chores or for getting good grades in school. What would be so horrible about God giving his son a higher place in his kingdom? It's natural. It's natural throughout the universe to have things happen this way. And over some years, Patrick Bellringer was receiving very profound messages, and I can tell you I've read his stuff over the years, and it's been very inspirational. I've read it on this show, and I've gotten tons of email from folks thanking me for sharing the message. So just imagine that this message came from the Son of God, and he's talking to us, and he's telling us basically the way it is in the universe, the way God's creation was intended to be. And I'm just reading an excerpt of the journal number 9 that was, I got to look at the date on that. That was way back on, November 1st, 1989, this message came through. And, you know, we know in Christianity, Jesus is going to return to this planet at some point. And there are many that would like you to buy into the story that that will never occur. He did say, no man knoweth the time or the hour. So if that's true, what he said, then no one should be predicting when that will occur. Now, you get all kinds of signs that something is going on. People definitely feel something very evil is going on, very sinister. And so I want to read this little piece. This was kind of interesting, and it's very appropriate in terms of what we've been going over on this show for the past few months, and even very recently, within the past few weeks and days. This particular section is called Destroy versus Create. Satan is a purely destructive force by its demonic representatives. It claims to be not other. Satan is utterly and totally dedicated to opposing human life and growth. It can only survive in vileness, war, and hate. Now you ask, why would not God, having created Lucifer, Satan, in the first place, simply wipe him out? The question in itself presupposes that God would wipe anything out. It must be assumed that God can punish and kill if he would wipe anything from existence. Perhaps you should consider that God gave Satan free will, just as he gave it unto Hunman, and that God does not destroy. God only creates. However, if he so chooses to remove a thought from his process, that fragment simply ceases to exist. So don't test his patience too far. If a human is stricken from God's book of life records at the transition of that soul, its record is removed. The point is, children, that God does not punish. To create you in his image, God gave you free will. To have done otherwise would have been to make you puppets or hollow mannequins, robots, androids. Yet, in order to give you free will, God had to forswear the use of force against you. You do not have free will when there is a gun pointed at your back, although you still have choice. It is not necessarily that God lacks the power to destroy you, to punish you, but that in his love for you, he has painfully and terribly chosen never to use it. In agony, he must stand by and allow you to be. He intervenes only to help when asked, never to hurt. God Creator is a God of restraint. Having forsworn the use of power against you, if you refuse his help, he has no resource but to watch you punish yourselves. While many of you ones upon earth envision your God as a giant wrathful policeman in the sky somewhere, the reality is that God has forever denounced police force. Ones ask, how could God allow such and such a thing to happen? Well, in the allowing of free will, there is a disallowing of force. God will not interfere, for in the allowing of free will, he forsook force. God waits most patiently for you to make your decision, for he is God, a God of truth, and will not break of his own edict. So, he awaits your choices. It may seem to you who desire truth and light that you are doomed. Oh no, never. God will win the battle against evil. In fact, the battle is already won by the announcement that the Christ came and will come again. There is no death of soul, so he who is created can in no wise annihilate his own creator. Know that Satan is on the run and in his apparent control of the world is desperately efforting at maintaining power. He attacks more steadfastly those ones who can produce the most in opposition of his lie. This is why ones who work within the light, i.e. pen these messages, speak in truth, uncover the lies, and make them public, and thus and so are most targeted. It is, however, more advantageous to discredit in some manner the offenders than to actually kill them, for then the banner is taken up by others. Therefore, the heavy thrust is to discredit truth and have the bringers of the truth discredit it. It is often most unintentional in ones who do the discrediting. It is in this, in the manner of telling ones who receive of these words that they are mostly correct, that only about 10% is tainted. No, no, no. Truth is 100%. Errors in human typing and printing can be present, but concept and content must be 100%. Do I make myself quite clear? This is for all of you who share the uncommon task of presenting our presence and our truth in your works. You shall not work in blindness nor lack of assistance for much longer in your time perspective, for we are here in your spaces already. It is not longer that someday I shall come again. I am come again. I am most real. I am manifested and I am come. So be it for you. Must be in the hearing and accepting of this truth. Watch those ones who denounce this is false, for they are touched by the evil brotherhood. Ye shall not be in the drifting up into some fragile cloud somewhere out there. Your places are prepared for you, and you will find shelter in very manifested silver ships that will tend of your needs. Do you not think perhaps it is time to open eyes and ears and know how it is? Have you not been people of the lie long enough? So be it. I will point out right at this point that evil even claims the brotherhood of cosmic brethren come in his own appearance. Nay, we come as you. Thousands walk among you. God sends forth his horde in his own image. He would not send forth terrifying images to paralyze and disable you in your most terrific or terrific hour of need. And that comes from Asu Sananda. Here on this earth, we know him regularly as Jesus the Christ, Yeshua. With that, I welcome to Evident Footprints, my good friend. He has been on a number of times. It's been a while since we've had him on. And this is just divine timing tonight. I welcome back my good friend, Joe Church. Joe, welcome back to Evident Footprints.
Thank you, Don. I enjoyed that piece that you read.
Yeah, it resonates with me. Thank you. I didn't write it. I already gave credit to the son. He wrote it. Actually, the scribe was Patrick Bellringer from 4winds10.com. And Patrick, I've got a lot of admiration for him. He's really got the perspective on what has to be done. And I've heard you preach. I've heard you teach from the Bible, and I've heard you discern what's going on, and many of these words sound like you. You and I have had these conversations, too. Why don't you share your thoughts on this with the audience, if you would? I know I just hit you with this all of a sudden, but you understood the message.
Sure. You know, you were talking, first of all, about names that you would have in the eternity. Well, you know, it's funny, even the scriptural names, like, let's take the name Jeremiah, it means, if we translate Jeremiah, it means he who God launches forth. So instead of saying, let's go to the book of Jeremiah, let's say, let's go to the book of he who God launches forth. That's a switch. That's a change. But you get more of the feeling for who, what this book is all about.
Yeah, Joe, I need to ask you to make sure you speak up.
Jeremiah can take on a whole new meaning when you translate the name.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going to the book of Jeremiah, we're going to the book of He Who God Launches Forth.
Yes.
That gives a whole new feel to it. It gives a very personal thing to you as the reader. It brings it right up close and personal.
Yeah.
Our name in the eternity might be something that the Father either looks on us as far as what our duties are or what our purpose is or, like the book of Job. Job means persecuted. So let's go to the book of persecuted. Gives a whole different meaning to a man's name because his what happened to him in his life. So, you know, this is, my name is Joseph. It means adding to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, every name has a meaning to it. So you can even go a little deeper into what your function is, where you came from, and where you're going. Also in that article, you mentioned that, Satan, he was, created great. He was a great protective, cherub. He was one of the Father's top, angelic beings.
Mm-hmm.
He was a protector of the mercy seat in actuality. He was one of his two top lieutenants, himself and Michael. And, through corruption, he corrupted his own mind. He wanted to take the place of the Father. He wanted to perform a coup.
Mm-hmm.
And take his place. He figured that he could have the top position. See, because he was perfect in all his ways. I mean, he was created top man. He was one of the top protectors.
Yes.
So, and also, as far as the recycling, in the military, what they have is if you make it through basic training, you go on to advanced individual training. Well, sometimes in basic training, which is mostly physical and discipline, some people can't make it through. So what they do is they recycle them. In other words, they don't let them graduate. They let them stay back, and the new class that's coming in, they put them in with the new class and let them do it all again. Well, kind of that's kind of what we have today.
Well, yeah, they do that in the schools. I mean, we can recall that when we were kids. In you know, if you went to a public school, they did that quite a bit. And and today they call that politics, and they call it education. You know, the education is so successful that you have to hang back two or three times in many cases until you start growing facial hair. Then they say, well, I think it's a bit unusual that you're growing a mustache and a goatee in third grade, so we're going to move you up. You know.
Yeah. You know, the Father, the reason that we're here in this earth age, there was a first earth age before this, non-flesh age.
Yeah, why don't you talk about that a little bit, if you would, Joe? Because you've mentioned it often, but for the new listeners that we have, and we've got folks all over the world, I want you to know. So, you know, you feel like delivering a sermon, by all means, go ahead.
In the first world age, Don, it was a beautiful time. It was a beautiful age. We were all angelic beings in that age. We had much freedom, much freedom. Proverbs chapter 8, very special part of the scriptures, if anybody wants to go there. Proverbs chapter 8, start with verse 22. And who's wisdom is speaking in Proverbs 22. And let wisdom tell you all about the beginning. I'm not talking about the beginning of this flesh age, this flesh age on this earth. I'm talking about the beginning of time before this earth was even laid in orbit. And let wisdom tell you all about that first world age. And, you know, before the mountains were formed, before the oceans were, set in their courses. In other words, the boundaries of the ocean, so it couldn't go onto the land. It would just settle right there. Before the clouds were formed, you know, it'll give you a feel of a new time, a different time.
Mm-hmm. Joe, make sure you speak in. Joe, make sure you speak close to the phone.
Okay, Don. We were all angelic beings at that time. And we were very happy. We sang in the heavens, as it says in Job 38. Sang in the heavens. In other words, when you're singing, you're very happy. If a person's singing even today by himself, you know he's a happy person. He's singing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did in that age. We were very happy. We were close to the Father. We were his children. We were happy, and we played and frolicked and had a great time. And then a problem came along. And this is what I was referring to earlier, when Satan tried to drag a third of God's creation, his angelic beings, over to him. And a third followed him. He had a choice. The Father had a choice when that happened. He could have destroyed all those created angels. Just destroyed them, made it so they didn't exist, like they never existed. Or he could recycle them into this age, not knowing, blinding them from what they did in that first age,
mm-hmm.
to give them a second chance. So he put them in flesh bodies this time, bodies that could not fly, they couldn't leave the ground because of gravity. And he let them walk the earth in bodies that could disease and wither and die and have other problems. But he wanted to see if who loved him. He wanted to see this time who would love him. You see, he could have created us all robots and just have us walk around saying, "I love you, Father, I love you, Father." But see, the problem with that is love has to be a true love has to come from within each and every individual. It has to come from within you. It can't be forced. I can't make my wife love me. I can't force her to love me. It has to come from within her.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with the Father. He wants to see who truly loves him. So he created this age, and it was because of that first world age. Now people say, well, is the second earth age, is this going to be the determining point whether they love the Father or not? In many cases, this is not going to be the final decision in the second world age. There's going to be another age after this in which we're not in flesh bodies. We will be in a glorified body, a body that looks fairly much similar to what we have now, but it's going to be a body that won't wither, it won't disease, so we won't have to worry about any flesh diseases or conditions that go along with flesh. It will be totally void of any fleshly problems that might arise.
Mm-hmm.
It will be strictly more or less for the soul or the real being of that individual, who they really are.
Yes. Now, if I can interject something here, and I don't want to lose track of this because it has to do with what you were saying. So please don't lose track of what you were saying. In this same piece that I was reading, prior to the section I read, it's a longer piece, which is why I didn't read it tonight. I'm going to save this for a future show, maybe next Monday, I'm thinking. I just feel it's appropriate to share this with the listeners because there are many, many answers. And I'd have to say that I and you and Rick Adams and Greg Evenson and Drew Raines, many of the people that have been on this show and have poured out a message from their heart about what's going on this planet, hit the nail right on the head. We have no delusions about what's going on. And he speaks about the energy of evil and he actually describes what is going on here on the planet as beyond Satan, if you can imagine that. That some of the individuals that are, and I think you and I know who that is, and those discerning listeners know we've already talked about those critters on the planet. So he is actually saying the same thing you're talking about right now, in an earlier part of this piece. It's fascinating reading, and it's very inspirational because he says it has to be dealt with on that level. You know, if you're dealing with evil of a spiritual nature, you have to deal with it on a spiritual nature. It's not going to be handled with a piece of paper. This is really spiritual warfare that we're witnessing right now. So please go back into what you were going to say. I just wanted to make that comment.
Okay. When we go into that third age.
Speak up, please.
When we go into that third age, which is the age after this flesh body, we are going to know who we really are. And when I quote the scriptures here and there. This is the thing. When I quote these scriptures, I'm doing more than just quoting scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing battle, Don. Doing warfare. I'm bringing out the big guns. I know the scriptures that destroy evil spirits. And this is what I'm about doing.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing forth the scripture, because I know which ones hit the mark.
Yes.
And I do this because I'm told to do this. I have a job to do, and I want to do it to the best of my abilities. So there's more to just reading scripture than people might know. So when we get to that third world age, we're going to know the entire scriptures. Until we know the entire scriptures, he's going to give us the knowledge of what is contained in the volume of the book. We're going to have a full picture of the Jesus that we, God Savior, that we study and that we learn about and that our ancestors gave to us. We're going to know the whole story. We're not going to know half the story or a quarter of the story. We're going to know the full story. And in that, we're going to have the ability, finally, to make a good, educated decision as to whether we want to follow him into the eternity or not.
Mm-hmm.
One or the other.
He stated, if you recall, he stated the truth is 100%. Mm-hmm. It's not 90%. It's not 10%. It's 100%. And we've said this on past shows, you and I and others, that the truth does not require any help for man to be the truth.
Right.
There's nothing a man can do or say that can change the truth. They can affirm it. You know, there are many, many good things that can be done by acknowledging the truth, by discerning the truth, by living and being in the truth. He describes it as being in light, and he describes evil as total darkness, as total absence of light. And if truth is in the light and it's 100%, then evil has to be 100% in the darkness.
Right.
Right?
That's it.
So,
it's either one or the other.
Yeah, and I found it also interesting that he made a distinction, because you're talking about the words and the power that are in the words. You could say that they're encoded. There is a code that unlocks our DNA and opens up our awareness, if you want a scientific explanation for it. Where it opens up the heart center, and it opens up the pathway to communication to God, as if you were connected to a fiber optic cable the size of a fire hose. Okay?
Right.
You and I and others have experienced this. I'm sure there's many in the listening audience when they've been inspired by God to do something that they feel that energy flow through them like it's coming through a fire hose or out of a fire hydrant. It's not a little tiny trickle. There's no doubt about where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And that power is in the word. I know that. So
yeah, before I was on the show tonight, I had a thing pass right in front of my eyes that there are going to be many tonight that are going to receive a special message. And I think it's starting to develop. I can feel it developing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the key of David, the key of David is a special key, Don. It has special teeth in this key. And this key cannot be a standard key for everybody. Each key will develop its teeth by each individual person. In other words, they'll have the key of David, but it'll have different teeth in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's different doors that it's going to open, and different, there's going to be different functions for these people. Now, I'm going to read a couple of passages from Matthew 16 and Luke 11 that have a lot to do with the key of David. And this key, Rick Adams gave me the nickname Joe Church, because originally when I first went on his program, he introduced me as Joe from the Church of Philadelphia. The Church of Right, now the Church of Philadelphia is in the book of Revelation 3:9, chapter 3. And they had keys. They had the key to David, this particular church. Now, John, the Revelator, was a time traveler. He was taken from the Isle of Patmos about 90 A.D., to the end of this age, right where we are now, Don. Right where we are now. Time travel to this time. And he saw seven churches. Of all the churches, all the denominations, there's many multitudes of denominations, he only saw seven frames of mind of churches, seven churches. And if anybody reads those seven churches in the book of Revelation, they probably see their church or the place of worship in one of those churches. Now, out of the seven, there were only two that the Father was pleased with. All the others he had a problem with at that end times that John was taken to.
Mm-hmm.
Those two were Smyrna and Philadelphia. Now, I want to know what the Church of Smyrna and Philadelphia were doing or teaching that the Father was so pleased with. He was not happy with the others. So only two frames of mind out of the seven were pleasing to him. Those two churches, what they had in common, one had the key of David, which is a key that opens doors that no man can shut and shuts doors that no man can open. And what that leads to is the kingdom of heaven. Heaven being a place of understanding, not a place that you go to. You can't take three lefts and a right to get there. It's a place of understanding in your being. And the next couple of passages that I'm going to go to Matthew 16:15 first. Let me get over there, Don. Thank you. Matthew 16:15.
Now, I could make an educated guess here, I guess, while you're looking for that, and say that those two churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, were teaching the truth. They were teaching God's word.
That's it. Now, for the sake of time, I would recommend that everybody goes to those two churches and finds out what is contained therein. Let those two churches find out what they were teaching and go and find out the material that they were teaching. This was very, very important. Now, you don't have to be no Holy Joe. You don't have to be no big deal. Just be yourself. Read it and let the words speak to you from your walk in life. Let it speak to you. Don't presuppose anything or forget all you've heard in the past, and just let it talk to you individually on a personal basis. Matthew 16:15. And the same thing with these verses that I'm reading. But let's just shut your eyes and paint your own picture. 15. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Messiah. Christ means Messiah. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Jesus means God's Savior. That's what you're saying when you say Jesus, God's Savior.
Joe, I have to ask you again, please, to make sure you speak up, because you're kind of drifting off into the background.
Okay, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah means son of the dove. For flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, Peter didn't know this of his own volition. Only the Father in heaven could have given him the gift to receive it, to believe it. Here was a man, he walked by him and said, follow me. And he dropped what he was doing for his work and just started following him. How many people could you walk by today and say, follow me? And they stopped their job that they've been working 40 years at and just take off and follow you.
Well, the media does that to people. They,
right.
You know, we had Michael Jackson for 2 weeks straight now, you know. But, yeah, I get your point, and I understand that. Yeah, there's not really anybody out there. Maybe Benny Hinn, you know.
And verse 18 says, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, that's Petra, and upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the grave, shall not prevail against it. Hell there, in that case, is the grave. And I will give unto thee the keys. Ah, the key of David now. Now we're getting to the key of David. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Heaven meaning a place of understanding. Kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whosoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God, I feel many people being loose tonight. I feel as many people being loose tonight. Then shall he, his disciples, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Messiah of the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples, which means students, how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. This all had to be said ahead of time. Now the keys to the kingdom of heaven, in a place, in Matthew 13, verse 24, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. This is the parable of the wheat and the tares. And if we swing over for the sake of time to verse 36, Matthew 13:34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now remember, this is the kingdom of heaven. You've got to know, if you know this, you've got the kingdom of heaven. Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And this was the only parable that Jesus explained in private, because he sent away the multitude. And the multitude of Israel is not listening to this program tonight. A very small percentage of the world is listening to this, these words that are being spoken here. Not my words. Leave me out of it. The field, he's explaining this parable in private now. The field is the world, or the world age, this flesh age. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Okay, let's go over to...
Okay, I'm going to interject with something here while you look for that. I'm going to read another passage that I think is going to apply to what you're talking about. And this is at least in terms of answers that people are looking for. What will give them answers are understandings of the reality of the spiritual realm or the reality of the evil realm. And here... The force in operation is Satan and those that worship it. I'll use the son's explanation. You notice when I read this first piece, he referred to the father as he, and he referred to Satan as it. Whether he called him Lucifer, as he was known in heaven, or Satan as he's known down here. I say down here just as a distinction, not necessarily a direction, but in a lower frequency, we'll say. Satan's weakness. Now we get on to something useful in a tangible manner. Satan has glaring weaknesses, which in turn give Satan's adversaries great strength. Satan's demons are extraordinarily brilliant, but are also extraordinarily stupid. If it were not so extraordinarily narcissistic and conceited, Satan would not reveal itself at all. Its pride overcomes its own intelligence, so that the demon of deceit is also a show-off. If it were thoroughly clever, it would leave its victims long before things get really tough on it as a being. It really desires to win and therefore foolishly sticks on to the bitter end. Satan is also blind in some areas. It has no understanding of the phenomenon of love, for it is too extremely self-oriented. It recognizes love as a reality to be fought and even to be imitated, but utterly lacking in itself. It does not understand love in the least bit. The notion of true sacrifice is totally foreign to it. One's make sacrifices unto it, and that is all it can understand. When humans respond to its presence in true love, it does not comprehend what is being said and is completely ignorant of any ground rules in loving behavior. Evil further assumes a profound human tendency to self-deception, employs a scientific method to counteract it, and holds truth higher than any personal desire. Therefore, Satan also does not understand science at all. Enamored with its own will and hatred of the light of truth, it basically finds human science incomprehensible. Caution in your newly found strength is strongly advised. Satan's weakness should not encourage you to overlook his strengths. It propounds its lies with extraordinary power. It may not be so remarkable that it possesses people in front of you, but it has the power to totally confuse and cause total despair in another as a result of the power of its lies. This is totally along the lines of what we've been sharing with our listening audience on this show, in our research, and in our convictions about what we are perceiving. So this is another aspect of the truth that actually... parallels what you're describing, Joe. Please continue if you found the scripture.
Yes, it's Mark 4, verse 13. Now, he's talking about that parable of the sower here and the kingdom of heaven, if you read the whole chapter. But he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? In other words, what he's saying, if you don't know this parable, the parable of the wheat and the tares, you won't understand any other parable of the book, because this is the opening into the heavenly realm. This is the entranceway, and you've got the key to get into this secret entranceway. I studied the scriptures for 33 years, and I never knew this. When I found this out, that was my entryway. This was the, you know how they say that there's entryways into the earth, into the inner earth?
Mm-hmm.
This is the entranceway, Don. This is the entranceway. There's no other entranceway. You've got to know this parable of the wheat and the tares. Then he says over in Mark 4, verse 34, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things unto his disciples. In other words, this is not for everybody. This is for those that he's going to use to have this knowledge of the wheat and the tares. Once you have this knowledge of the wheat and the tares, it's a whole new book, Don. It's a whole new book, because you're seeing the Father's plan, the positive and the negative part of his plan. You see, Jesus came to die at the hands of this seed, Cain's seed. Cain was born to Eve first, and she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She knew it was not from her husband. It was, she thought it was the Lord, but the Lord can mean many things. It means Lord, Lord can even mean Baal.
Mm-hmm.
Baal worship was taking place in the earth, but she knew it was not of, her husband.
Yeah.
And then she continued, the verse says that after she had Cain, she, in the Hebrew, it's asaf. It means continued to do. She continued in labor, and she produced Abel. They were twins. They were called twins by separate conceptions.
That's pretty supernatural. Joe, keep track of where you are. Mark your place. We have a caller from Rhode Island, believe it or not. Okay? Michael from Rhode Island, welcome to Evident Footprints. Do you have a comment or a question for our guest, Joe Church?
Joe Church, how are you?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good, buddy.
I
just wanted to tell you to say something along the lines of the fact that people have to understand that so much of what is going on in this world, the Father is allowing to happen because that's what he wants to happen.
Right.
You know, we had talked about that at Bible study before, so I just thought that would be something that you could throw at them that would be, very interesting to the audience, is that
yes.
A lot of people think you're supposed to fight this, you're supposed to, you know, who's in charge of the world, are we going to get him out of here, or this is bad, this is evil, but the Father wants these things to happen.
Right.
You know?
Yes. It is so important, Mike, and I thank you for focusing me in on that. It is the Father's plan to allow Satan, who was judged at the end of the First World Age, judged that he would be dissolved and done away with. He couldn't have a chance for repentance. But he allowed him into this earth age, and he will allow him at the end of the age to deceive whoever he can. It's part of his plan. He wants to see who truly loves him and won't be deceived by this one, this beautiful angelic being. Remember, he doesn't have a pitchfork and red suspenders and horns. He's a beautiful angelic being.
The most beautiful.
The most beautiful. And the father wants to see who's going to be dragged into his deception again. So by knowing these things, we will know how to see a tree in front of us and go around it. And this is a blessing from the Father to have this knowledge. When I found these things out, the parable of the wheat and the tares, it was a whole different book to me. But it is the Father's plan to have a negative part to his plan. These Kenites fulfill the negative part. Jesus knew when he came that he had to die at their hands. Of course, the nails couldn't hold him. He rose from the dead. But he died at the will of the negative seed line, the sons of Cain, that seed line that was intact all the way through. And but it was part of his plan, because that was the way that he was going to destroy the devil, because he broke the Father's law. He killed an innocent man, a man that was totally without sin. He premeditatedly murdered him. And the penalty from his law is that the penalty for that, at the sake of two witnesses, you will be put to death. And this is the way that Christ had him put to death, once and for all. Had to come in flesh so that he could actually accuse and murder an innocent man. And that's how he got the victory over that individual.
You know, when Satan tried to tempt Jesus, and all Jesus said was, "Get thee hence, get away." He didn't complicate what he had to say. There was some discourse there, but what did he do? He did the very thing that politicians are doing today, that central bankers are doing, and that's temptation through bribery, the offering of the riches of the world or power over humanity. He had an understanding of what was to come. He already knew what was to come, really. And so he knew what to say. And there was no hesitation about it. And I think it's important to point out, and you have in a way, because you've said that this is his plan. Michael, yep, has pointed that out, as well as you, Joe, that it is his plan, knowing that he has allowed the dichotomy to exist. It's something we've talked about in the past. You can't have hot without cold. You can't have big without small, on and on, the opposites that keep the balance. And his concern is bringing back the balance. So I think that's the time we're in right now. What are your feelings on that?
Oh, definitely, Don. Yes. And the people that are hearing this message right now, once you know the Father's plan, fear cannot enter into this picture, because you now have a father. You know his plan, like your flesh father. You know your father's plan. You're his child. You see what he likes, what makes him smile, what makes him look down on you and say, "Oh, that hurts me." You know his plan. You know what his intentions are. You know what he's trying to do in this earth age. And if you walk close with him and be a good child to this father, and know what makes him happy, make him happy, is he going to let anyone touch you, including Satan or his angelic beings? Of course not.
No.
Nothing will come near you. He'll have a wall of protection around you that will be unbelievable.
Yes, and I was on Drew Rain's show for 2 hours early this evening, very early. You could say late afternoon in a way, but on the other side of this planet, it was early in the morning. And I can tell you that you could feel the spirit of the people. We were talking about a very dark topic that's going on right now in our country. We were specifically talking about this usurper that we have, and even understanding in the context of what you're saying, this is part of his plan. But the truth about who this individual really is came to me very recently. I knew it from the beginning of my research, and yet it manifested itself. And it was through talking to the Father that the message became crystal clear. I could see everything unfold in front of it. And I was asked a question by a listener that was well-meaning, well-intentioned, was concerned about, how I felt about things that are, going to happen. Well, what's going to happen has a result or is a direct consequence of what we create, what we co-create, or what we don't create. Or co-create. In other words, just sitting on a rear end doing nothing, just watching it like we're watching a movie, is not what this experience of life is about.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Okay, I mean, we have to take a stand somewhere. And if you're going to talk about God, and you're going to talk to God, when we talk to each other, what is wrong about sharing our convictions in
that
sense?
That's what he wants you to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, feel free to jump in here. We're not trying to
talk. I just wanted to say one thing, and it has nothing to do with this, and I don't want to take Joey's time up. You were talking when you had read that verse from whoever had given it to you, Don?
That's from Patrick Bellringer. Okay.
Okay. The last one that you had read, you had mentioned something about science and that Satan, didn't know anything about science. I don't have that exact, but it was something of that nature.
Yes.
Okay, well, I have a book. I don't know if you've read Enoch or not.
Book of Enoch? Yes, I have.
Yes. Okay, well, in Enoch, it explains that, not only does he know science, one of the things God held against him was that he taught us science, and that he taught us the arts, and he taught us how to, about metals and warfare and weapons and black magic arts and things of that nature. So that is, I'm not saying it's untrue, but these are things that he taught us, which God did want him teaching us.
I think, yes, your point is well taken. I think a distinction could be made there, because you're talking about technology. You're not talking about the natural laws of the universe, because that
well,
is
I don't
in,
know, because we. You know, I don't know exactly, I only know what we read there.
Yes, yes. I'm just saying, Jesus is referring to or Asu Sananda is referring to science in the universal context of creation and the laws of the universe.
Okay.
God's word, the truth, the light in its totality. And there is no technology that can replace it. You see, you talk about wars. And wars are created out of what? Technology, weapons. Is God using weapons in his creation? In the natural order things? Absolutely not.
No.
No, but those creations are protected by his armor. Mm-hmm. His armor is defensive. It's not offensive in nature.
No. No, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so I think there's a distinction, and I'm just making that clarification because you are right in that sense. And I feel if you take the word technology, isn't that the word of the day? Information technology?
Yes.
For example,
mm-hmm.
Digitizing everything, making everything become automatic. That's what he talks about in this piece, too. He talks about turning us into robots. Joe mentioned that, automatons,
mm-hmm.
that with no feeling, because although they have spirit, it's of a dark nature. It is the opposite of the light. So it's a spirit that operates out of lies and deceit. And murder and treachery and wars, all these things, that's exactly our situation politically across the planet. So there's truth in this.
Absolutely.
Someone can say, well, you know, I don't know if this guy gave this message. Joe's telling us to talk to God. If God gives me a message and says, share this with your audience, what am I going to do? Worry about what people think because I'm sharing God's message, you know, to me,
right.
Which is intended. I'm just the messenger. I'm not the message, you know.
Exactly.
You know, that's the point I'm making, you know. And I get very fervent about that because God talks to me all the time. And I know they're afraid of God, you see. But that's their issue. I don't have to do anything about it. Like you said, we don't have to fight this. We can recreate in the time that we have.
In the time that we have.
Yes, Joe, you want
to
come?
I also wanted to interject one thing,
okay.
I want your listeners to know that we have a Bible study, Joe and a few of us, on Friday nights for 6 to 8 hours, and we've been doing this for about 10 months now.
Okay.
And Joe's knowledge and everything else just cannot come out in this one-hour show. And it's so hard for him to give it to you all. I mean, there's so much to learn. You know what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so much for him to put out that it's so hard to do in such a short amount of time. And when I listen to him, I go, well, if they only knew how much more there was. I know he's subcategorizing everything, but there's so much more there.
Oh, yeah, and I know you're speaking the truth because I've had very long conversations with Joe about these things. Joe will vouch for me, right, Joe?
That's right, Don.
You know, and I mean, serious, we talk about these issues. We talk about how we perceive what's going on and what our role is in this.
Right.
I know I didn't just come here by accident, you know. I made an agreement. I took an oath. I swore an oath, but it was a sacred oath. Okay? It wasn't an obscenity. I took an oath. I made a promise. And it's a promise that cannot be broken, you see. And there is not a power on this earth that can break that promise.
Nope. And you can't go backwards.
Yes. Well, you have another comment before
I've wasted enough time. I'll let Joe go on.
No. This is very interesting discussion. Please call in again, Mike. Are you listener, or have you been listening for a while?
Oh, no. He's told me, but John will call me and tell me when the show is.
Oh, okay.
Usually.
All right.
John from Milford, Don, the musician.
Right. John from
Milford. Yeah. Tell John I said hello, too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay.
See you, Mike. Right. Thank you, Mike.
All right, Joe.
Okay, Joe. All yours. Go ahead.
All right. Back to the Key of David. I thank Mike for calling in. Boy, he's zeroing me right in on this. Let's see. Key of David. Luke 11:49-52. Therefore also, this is verse 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God. Wisdom of God. I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. But the blood of all the prophets which were shed from the foundation of the world, this was Satan's overthrow, the foundation of this world, may be required of this generation. And that generation means offspring or race. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. That can also be translated the key of David. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered. When these scripture lawyers take this word of God, the true salvation of the earth, and muddy the waters with it, and make it have a totally different meaning, they've taken away the key of David. And that's what you have in those five churches that didn't make the grade of the Church of Smyrna in Philadelphia. They couldn't make the grade. So, the key of David is very important. It's a key that opens the door to the scriptures. Once you have this key, and I can't tell you how to form your key, it has to be done by every individual all by themselves. It has to come through work and prayer to the Father to ask them what their job is, what do you want me to do, and see what your key is. He will show it to you. But you have received tonight what I searched for 33 years and could not find. I said as a young child, says, I know there's more than what I'm being told. I know there's more to this. And then when I found out about the tears, the book opened up like a flower. Concentrate your effort in that area. Give yourself a good shot at it. The Father might be calling you to have a job to do. And I'm giving you information, or he's giving you information through me, to save you a lot of time and aggravation and going down the wrong rabbit holes. He's giving you the key of David tonight. Not me. I didn't give it to you. He gave it to you. So, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. I don't amount to nothing.
You tonight, you're my guest on Evident Footprints, so you are something. I understand what you're saying. I'm not making light of what you're saying. I often say that same thing. I'm exuberant about the work that I'm doing. There is actually something that I haven't read again out of the same piece that literally refers to what you're doing, Joe. Refers to what I'm doing. Even this call from Mike tonight is an indication of that. And that's that we must recognize these things. You know, if you're going to make a choice about eternity, or you're going to make a choice about where, what your destiny is in respect to this life in a 3D reality right now, you have to understand who you're dealing with and what you're dealing with. I mean, we have a consistent menu of war and religious persecution, ideological deceptions, and what are called natural disasters. We've got disease, we've got starvation, I hate to talk about these things, but we've got perversions that are targeted against children and against women, and it goes far beyond even what Satan has planned. I have to agree. It goes even beyond that, because he would be satisfied with just being in control and causing others to lose their place in heaven, or just to stifle their consciousness, that they couldn't advance to a higher place.
Right.
And so they get caught in this time warp or this loop that you've talked about. You know, we go through these experiences over and over because our overall consciousness is ensnared in these beliefs that are based on lies.
Right. Right. Most of Satan's best work is done in the pulpits. This is where we're destroyed.
Yeah, I was going to ask you something.
He's into the pulpits, and he's muddied the waters. He's destroyed the healing waters of the scriptures. He's destroyed it. But I mean, it's not that he wasn't meant to be there, but the Father will pull a few from the fire. He will
Do you think,
pull them out. I believe there's a lot that are going to be pulled out tonight, Don.
Yeah. Do you think that it's really that he destroyed the word, or he perverted the word, and the word that's being taught is really not the word per se?
Exactly.
I can think of certain TV evangelists as an example, and the fact that they're on TV doesn't mean they're all bad. I've heard some pretty good preaching from time to time on a Sunday afternoon, but it's usually a local church. It's not one that's sitting in a 50,000 seat auditorium or arena. They make big spectacles out of these things, and I talked about this on the show with Drew Raines today, that they have a way of aggrandizing all of this physical experience to make it seem larger than life, because what is really real and larger than life is not in the physical realm at all. So it's an intentional way to hold us back. And there were many, many devices, the creation of disease, or you were talking about the black arts, or I think maybe it was Mike that mentioned that. The black arts are one means through which they use this. I see kids giving the hand sign, the sign of Satan, and like it's something cool to do. And if there's a camera on them, they make the sign because they see adults do this. And kids are learning this. So they're teaching these practices, and the kids don't understand why people are doing this. They see grown-ups do it. It must be okay to do it, because when I do it, they don't stop me, you see? Well, that's how not just Satan would work, but any spirit that was coming from an evil realm, or I should say any demon that's coming from a spirit, from a spiritual realm.
Yes.
They can pass through those realms. They don't necessarily abide there.
Right.
What is one of these demons going to do in the face of the Archangel Michael or the Archangel Gabriel? What can they do?
They have to flee.
Yeah.
They have to flee.
So they go to a place where they're warm and comfy,
Right.
They go to a place where they can feed off of the life force there.
Right. That's why these scriptures that we brought forth tonight, in the years past, I brought forth these things that ministers who have invited me to their churches. And once I start talking about these things, they say to me, I can't teach this in my church. I just can't do it. I said, what do you mean? Why can't you teach it? I says, you'll have overflow amount of people here. I says, they're hungry for the truth. Teach it. They said, I can't. I says to myself, I said, then you're too good for God's word. Your church is just too good for the word of God. They teach the easy parts, but when it comes to the hard parts, they just can't do it.
Yeah,
they're just too good for God's word.
I can't means I will not. And since when is, you see, I mean, that's him. He is the message there, you see. It's not God's message flowing through him. He is the message.
Right.
So he doesn't have that connection with the Father. So in that sense, what he's saying is, I don't know God. God won't speak to me.
That's it. When you can't teach certain parts, you're denying. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. Now, if you're afraid to bring forth a part of the book, you're afraid to bring forth the true Jesus. You're bringing forth the false Jesus, because you're omitting part of the Jesus that should be brought forth. I mean, let's chuck it right down. I mean, we're right at the end times here. This is no joke now. I mean, for those that have ears to hear this message tonight, I'm sure that this is a blessing. This is not for me. I didn't premeditate this, what I was going to bring out tonight, Don. You and I did not talk about this tonight.
No, and the opening message I shared tonight with the audience, from my perspective, I'm just telling you that you are so right in that, because I had to think about what I was going to say, and this is what I was led to. I was led to read that message, not even knowing what we were going to say tonight. But I knew as I read it that it was appropriate. I even said that. This is appropriate for tonight. I don't even know why I said that, except now I do, you see?
Yes. And you know something, Don? I feel that you and I had this conversation a long, long time ago.
Yes.
We're just doing it again, Don.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I have that experience quite a bit, and that it's beyond just an experience, though. It's a knowing. It's a remembering. Remembering, not in the mental sense that we construe the word remember. Remember means to recreate the parts of the body. It's synonymous with the phrase born again. So, well, listen, Joe, we're actually out of time, but go ahead. I want to give you a closing moment here before we say goodbye.
when the creation of this age took place in Genesis 1, I think it's chapter 20, verse 26 or 27, talked about the Father said, let us make the six-day man. He says, let us make man. Eth Adam, the man. Let us make the man, not mankind, but the man in our image. You know that word image means phantom in your Strong's Concordance? Phantom. Even today, phantom has a meaning in the English. Let us make man in our image. That first world age. You're in the image of what you were in the first world age.
Yeah, you could also say that it's a reflection from thought that manifested through the word, couldn't you?
Yes. Yeah. And then, of course, the man, after he rested on the seventh day, on the eighth day, he did not have a man that could till the soil. So he formed Eth HaAdam, the specific man Adam. A certain man Adam. A man among men, if you would, to till the soil. So,
well,
Father,
Joe,
has his favorites, Don.
Yeah.
He has his favorite children, and he expects a lot out of them.
Yes.
And folks, if you want to help your people, dig into this word that you received tonight, and you'll be able to help your people.
Okay, Joe, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. It was an inspiring message. Boy, I could feel the heat building up in my room here. And
thank
inside.
You, Don.
It happens often, and I'm glad to hear some folks from your Bible study group are listening way up in Rhode Island. That's nice.
Yes, it is.
It's an indication that we got people listening all over the world. We've got people in Sochi, Russia, listening to us, Kazan, Russia, Australia, Ireland. All across Europe, Spain, Germany, Switzerland, France, England, smack dab in London.
Yeah.
We've got listeners. South America, Canada. We got people all over this planet listening to us tonight. And you are right. There are some people that are going to be inspired and moved tonight to do great things. So I want to thank you for being on the show and let the listening audience know you're going to be on 2 weeks from tonight on July 27th. That's a Monday evening for those on the West Coast, early Tuesday morning for those of you who are still up and tired of listening to Fox News and CNN. Tune into this show. Joe, I want to say goodnight and thank you for being on the show. Take care. Say hi to Rick for me and all the folks up there that I know. And
thanks a lot, Don.
Look forward to your next appearance on Evan and Footprints.
Yeah, same here, Don. Thanks a lot. God be blessed.
Okay, you too. Folks, you have been listening to Evan and Footprints on BBS Radio and our special guest, Joe Church. He'll be back again on the 27th, Monday the 27th of July. In the meantime, I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us tomorrow when my special guest will be Mr. Ken Adachi. Don't want to miss that show tomorrow. And in the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.